Hello.
Hi.
Everybody should be able to speak now.
Okay.
And we hope you enjoyed the awakening ceremony. It's always very deeply moving for Leonie and I. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's hard to get through it because you want to choke up. But as I said, bear with us a little bit. We're still coming back. But are there any questions that anybody would like to ask pertaining to either the ceremony this evening or Starseed program or Starseed and John?
Okay. Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. There's something with some music or something in the background that makes it a little difficult. What people can do if they would like to just mute themselves until they have a question, you can hit star 6, and then you can hit star 6 when you want to unmute yourself to ask a question. Okay. So are there any questions?
After what you said just a few minutes ago, I was wondering then if it was not an unusual response to find oneself in tears. I was so moved by your...
Oh, bless your heart. We find ourselves in tears fairly often when we do it.
Yes.
But
so beautiful.
Well, thank you. The woman that wrote this particular prayer the first part of the awakening ceremony, Allison Kane, couldn't or is not here with us this evening, and we always say a prayer of a blessing and gratitude to her when we do the awakening ceremony, because it truly is a beautiful piece of art.
Yeah, it is, and it truly reaches the heart.
Hello, Debbie.
Okay. Hello. I can let somebody else speak now.
All right. Are there any questions?
I have a question. I'm very new to this. I just discovered this whole wonderful website less than 24 hours ago, and I'm so happy that I found you in time for this very precious ceremony. I was wondering, I looked on the website, but I'm not finding where we sign up for this program.
Okay, if you go up into on the upper toolbar on the online university, and you'll see some pull down menus come down through there, and it talks about how you can join and be part of the program. But that,
yes, I've already done that part. I've already enrolled, and I'm a member, but I'm not finding how to enroll in this particular course with the Starseed.
Oh. Okay. We're very flexible with our members.
Mm-hmm.
If you look in the online resource, you'll see all the e-books associated with the Starseed or the Starseed Activation Program or Starseed and Souls. And what we'll mm-hmm. be doing with the people in the that are members is we'll be getting the emails will be coming to you about once a week telling you what's coming up in the next program and during the next week, and we'll be discussing the other teleconferences and the other programs, but we'll be posting these in the calendar and announcements. Starseed will be approximately once a month we'll be doing a program, because we've got a lot of programs we've got to cover, and Leonie and I could easily be online or on the phone every evening.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of material out there. But you can get that information from the right there from the online resource center, and we will be posting and sending out messages on when the next teleconference is going to be available. Now, I will point out that as a general policy, what we do for the first of a series of courses, for instance, tonight is the first of the Starseed Activation Program. This is an open teleconference we'll be putting on the website, but the successive modules that we'll be going into will be for members of the online university, and will be a little bit more roundtable in format, in that, you know, we may have because it'll be a smaller group, we'll be able to be a little more family-oriented as far as how we're set up and working the teleconferences and things like that. Does that answer your question, or did I go off on a completely different tangent?
No, it answers it beautifully. And I just wanted to make one more comment, which is that I have been around the world literally in search of so many, in search of myself, in search of my place. And I just want to say that encountering your website and reading your guiding tenets and feeling the authenticity and the precious, sacred tone has moved me beyond all of the travel and all of the money that I've spent on seeking these. And I just wanted to honor you and say that it's amazing what the two of you are doing, and I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and my highest heart, too.
Bless your heart, both of them.
You know, yes. The thing is that I have my personal experience on this, and, you know, and I have traveled a lot in my life as well, and, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm North American. I was born in Brazil, and I end up here out of, you know. So, but anyhow, I always had this thing. I don't know if most of you guys have the same sensation. Where is home? Where is home? It's not that I don't like Earth. I love Earth. I love Earth. I love people. I love animals. I love plants. I love everything. I love the colors. I love everything. I love to be alive. But where is home? You know, I have the problem with this. You know, I mm-hmm. look at certain things, and I look how, you know, human beings treat other human beings, and I look like, this is not home.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go home.
And I think this is what we allude to when we talk about, you know, we're here to create, recreate, or be co-creators, and mm-hmm. create that heaven on earth. So to speak, it's not really the same thing as heaven, but what it is to take humanity and to make our home what it was originally intended to be. And I think that you know, humanity as a whole is raising itself. The vibration's going higher. You still see a lot of negative vibrations out there, but it's incredible how much good you see if you look for it.
Mm-hmm. And it's a process of balance, you know, when to eliminate, you cannot eliminate completely, because we still live in duality. So you always have two sides, at least, to a certain situation. But as we vibrate higher, we allow Mother Earth to vibrate higher as well, and transform. So soon, I hope soon, we will be going through another phase that we actually will leave the three-dimensional world and the duality of everything and go back to the unity or the oneness, which is basically where we came from.
And this is an interesting point, because technically we've never left. We have... You know, in one of the other courses, we'll discuss Farrakath and the Veil of Illusion, but we really are not separated from all that is. We just have, we've come to think that we are. And it's that's part of what we're doing when we reawaken, is understanding that there is God in each one of us. You know, there is a divine spark. That's what we are. And once we understand that, once we work with that, that's when you know it's hard to mistreat somebody else or to be abusive to somebody else when you know you understand that they have that same spark of the divine in them that you have in you, and that's what we're trying to ripple out. As a matter of fact, we're always talking about the ripple effect. As you ripple this intention and these acts of good out, it's amazing how far they will go. But I've gone off on a tangent again, which I tend to do.
Yeah, you did. I just had a question about the actual ceremony itself.
Yes.
What is it that we can expect to start happening, I guess, or... I guess I'm kind of looking for more of, like, signifiers to notice, like, what should I kind of pay attention to. I felt a lot of heat during that, I suppose. Is that
We get that reaction. It's like energy. Any energy work, or if you've ever had Reiki done to you, different people feel different things. Everybody feels something. But how, what your filter is and how you translate that is different. As far as signifiers, I think that probably the most important thing that you'll start to do, now that you've started the process of opening, and many of us have already started the process of opening before tonight's ceremony, what that then does is accelerate it. You'll start to be more aware of things of significance, or more responsive to, for instance, you may have more lucid dreams. Let me jump in here.
Yes, more lucid dreams, and then another thing that you will feel, you know, in this is a natural process of any, when you started the awakening. The awakening doesn't mean necessary to have a ritual like we did tonight. And the reason being is because Earth is working with all of us in different levels, and because we absorb the energy in different levels, we are doing certain rituals because we call upon certain energies to be reinstated at one moment again. And it's the moment that we say as a ritual, because we get you quiet in one point, sitting down and receiving it. That's the reason, you know, we need a ritual for. But basically, what I'm trying to say is this, that there are certain characteristics, that certain things that you can really perceive this. One is a change of habit. You may feel like, I can't, if you eat meat, I can't eat meat anymore. Or I feel less inclined to eat, you know, certain people. And in my face now is milk. I cannot stand milk. You know, they say that you go to certain transformation itself. The lucid dream is one of them, but the most is really, I would say, crucial aspect of any awakening is the period before you go to bed. When you close your eyes and you are about to go out, is there, you know, you start seeing some lights. When your eyes close, you see some lights, sometimes some faces start to show up, or some figures, or some, you know, some characters, or even some symbols. This is very important. Why? Because when you are in a state that you are about to go out to sleep, or you are about to leave your body, it's where you should work more with your third eye. And when you start the awakening process, you will see the difference, because the intensity of light or the images that will show up at that point will be a lot. You may not even remember your dreams. You said, well, my God, I dream a lot, but I cannot remember anything. But the phase that before you fall asleep is the phase that you will know that something is changing, because naturally your third eye is opening. And I say that because basically all the awakening happened, you know, two glands in your brain, a pituitary gland and a pineal gland. So those are two glands, and they, you know, the first symptoms when you have the recalibration of those two glands is the opening of your third eye.
Now, one of the things I'll throw out here, we're getting some feedback here, but one of the things that I wanted to throw out is for those who are members up in our online resource center, if you look in the section for the stellar codes, right at the beginning, we do have a very good ebook on activating your pineal gland, and that's got some very good procedures for this, which then of course develop your third eye, among other things. There's also a very good in this series, and even if you're not doing the stellar codes, you have access to this as a member. You can look at these books. There's a method called the triangulation method, which is a very good way of working with your soul star, which is
personal chakra.
Yes.
And we'll be working now as we go through ascension process, and we go through the stellar codes. What we do basically is to awake and learn how to work with what you call either also transpersonal chakras, which are above your crown chakra, and subpersonal chakras, which are below your the sole of your feet. So there's three up and three down. So you
as,
know,
as above, so below.
So you know what you do on this is you know, on the codes and the awakening is the start to know how to clean, to operate, and to use this to do, for instance, astral travel, stargating passage. I know it looks crazy, but actually is it. You know, when I learned from this for the first time, I said, oh my God, is it just crazy, but it's not. Actually, it's not. I can guarantee you it's not. It's actually very interesting. But you start by activating your pituitary gland and your pineal gland. Now, there is very interesting things about the pineal gland, including the Bible. There's one thing that I think is fantastic, you know, and you guys can look. I think it's in Mark. I don't remember where it is on the New Testament. But there is an episode that Jesus Christ went to the city, and I believe it's in Mark. And he goes, and there's a blind man that comes and says, Jesus, you know, Son of David, please cure me. I was blind from birth. And Jesus then put a little bit of clay and, you know, spit on it, make a little paste, and then put in his third eye. And then he cleans it, and then he asks the guy, are you seeing it? And he said, yes. And Jesus asked him, what are you seeing? And then he says, oh, I see people walking like trees.
They look like trees.
And so Jesus Christ go back, get the same clay, spit again, and put it back and touch him and say, now you see? He said, yes, I do. What happened with this man? If I don't know if most of you probably are familiar with the Simmons Lighthouse picture of the I Am Presence, where you have the soul, the monad, and you have the soul, and you have the tube that goes down, and you have the, you know, the soul extension in the bottom.
Which is us. Which is the soul, and we're inside the tube at the bottom.
Yes. That is what that man saw. He saw the soul extension, he saw the soul, and he saw the monad, which looks like a tree. It is a graphic that's very, you know, it's everywhere, especially for those that work with the violet flame. It's a typical picture, and you can find in the Seventh Lighthouse. It's basic. So that's the tree that the man was seeing. So what Jesus did was when he put his hand, he activated the pineal gland so the man could see with his third eye, you know, three-dimensional eyes, but it was a little bit too much.
He gave a little bit of too much extra, and he took that back.
Yeah, and he took it back. He took it, he did the clay again, and then he put it again and took it out. So he took his third eye vision and let him stay only with the three-dimensional vision.
See normal, because I imagine that was done out of compassion, because if the man's just started seeing, he's going to have a hard enough time understanding 3D, much less being able to interpret what nobody else can see.
Exactly. So it is an interesting thing, but it is in the Bible. I can guarantee you. I think it is in
the
document.
Yeah,
I will put it out on Mark. But it's there, you know. So it's very important. It's absolutely imperative for anyone that wants to awake completely to work very carefully with the gland, you know, and there is a process of special food, what you call brain food, that can help you develop your, you know, the full potentiality of your pineal gland and your pituitary gland. There are some methods of detoxing that will take the density around and make easier those two glands to receive the information and decode this in, I would say, in little bites, and so your brain can absorb it and understand. So, but those are the things that we can work with, and then you will see some kind of difference on this awakening that you just had.
You'll definitely see a difference in the awakening. Now, one of the fascinating things, as a matter of fact, we just saw this video a little while ago, was a guy that was doing one of the TED Talks. the imaging of the brain. And what they specifically focus on is, you know, these glands and how they change during or for people that do, you know, have faith or do prolonged
contemplative prayers and meditation.
And there's actual a physiological reaction that takes place in how this gland changes in size and shape based on a spiritual practice. So we ought to find that and post that somewhere.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's pretty fascinating. Are there any other questions?
Yes, I have a question. You spoke earlier when you're in that phase just before going to sleep and faces. What are those faces?
Well, you know, as you go out of your body, you know, you have to understand one thing. First of all, we are multidimensional beings. So if you say you are here right now, but doesn't mean that, you know, being a multidimensional being, you're not in other dimensions at the same time. You know, as a matter of fact, some schools of tradition says that we are ourselves in seven different dimensions. But as you go, before you go to bed, you start relaxing, and then your pineal gland, because the pineal gland is very much stimulated by darkness, you know, because it produces melatonin, which is a substance that puts you to sleep. And is essential because it keeps your body, you know, ridden of what you call free radicals and stuff like that. It's an antioxidant. I don't know much about this, you know, I'm just telling you what is the basic. So as you start going to bed and it's dark, then the pineal gland starts working. When it works, the first thing that does is open your third eye, which is the place between your two normal eyes, you know, between the eyebrows. But as you go up, you pass different dimensions called the lower astral, you know, then the medium astral, and the high astral. The lower astral, you have a lot of souls that are not, you can say that they are still here, or they are earthbound, and there are other beings that live in the lower astral, which are called the lower fourth dimension. You know, they're there. Most of them get stuck there. It's not really a nice place, but we have to pass there as you go up. What you can do to avoid if they are scary ones is pray to your soul before you go to bed and say, I don't have any contact with any beings on a lower dimensional plane.
Yeah. I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Before we repeat it, anybody that's not in the process of asking a question, if you could hit *6, we'll get some of this feedback out a little bit, and then just unmute yourself when you get ready to ask a question. But what Leilani was saying is that as we travel outside of our body, as we leave, we go to sleep and we start to leave, we start going up through the fourth dimension up into the fifth, but there are beings that live in the fourth dimension. Some of these are earthbound souls that haven't gone to the light, so to speak.
Exactly.
And
other beings as well.
And other beings as well. Now, it's not just people that are, or not just beings that are in the fourth dimension that you might be seeing. For instance, there are lots of people that as their third eye is open, as they've made this transition into sleep, they may be seeing their guardian angels. You know, so there's...
If they're not scary, I mean, because no guardian angel is scary.
Well, no guardian angel is scary. But the thing is that the beings that you will see will vary, and it will depend. You may see the earthbound one day, you may see your guardian angel the next, you may see, you know, another being of light that's come down.
And not all of them are necessary humanoids, by the way. You know, you can see a variety of beings from elementals, and you on the lower fourth dimension, you also have what you call the thought form, which is a projection of mind. You know, a person that is paranoid, it projects the image, and projects so much that, you know, end up having an image on the astral world. So
if you're highly empathic, sometimes you'll run into this more than others.
There are images, is none I recognize, not scary. Beautiful faces. They all look serene.
Yeah, good.
Well, you're probably seeing angels.
Yes. Because they are angels.
And truly, angels are everywhere.
Okay. What's the point of...
What's the point of what?
Of seeing, what? So I'm falling asleep seeing these faces. What...
You can ask guidance. You can ask them to show you something about yourself.
As you work with opening your third eye and you get better at being able to control this problem, then you'll be able to have more of a dialogue. As a matter of fact, the entire purpose on what we do in the program for the Stellar Code is to build a bridge back from your, you know, there's always a cord coming from your higher self down to you. I mean, that's just how everything's designed. But when we intentionally build a cord back, then we have to become what's called much more soul infused. Which is, we're capable of acting with the knowledge and the guidance of our soul and our everyday existence. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. But, you know, this is the purpose of becoming, when one becomes enlightened, basically, you know, you've got a hotline to your higher self, so to speak, so you're operating on a different level of existence.
That you get, more you get soul infused, like Chris says, more you are able to be the personification of God, because your higher self is closer to God than you, than we are, you know, as so ancients. As we build the channel back, we get soul infused, and we are actually able to open this, you know, this connection to a way
we gotta go.
To become a... what you call co-creator, and that's the reason, you know, I have a graduate, the people from okay. the
hi say goodbye
the
speaker. Say goodbye to your person you just played with,
because there's more than just, you know, wishing for something to make things
excellent.
Happen but
two new badges. Wow, you're just getting
okay.
Good.
Right. We're getting some interesting feedback here on the line. But it's if you're interested in learning more about this, building this bridge back, it's some people refer to it as the Rainbow Bridge also. It's Antahkarana. And we do have an article and a video on the website, humanityhealing.net, which will go into a little bit more detail of what Antahkarana is.
Really?
Yes.
What is that on the...
Antahkarana.
Chris, hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Rachel, Rachel One Love on Humanity.
Oh,
hi, Rachel, how are you?
I'm good, how are you guys?
Oh, we're doing okay.
Good. It was a really beautiful ceremony, and thank you very much for all that you guys do.
Oh, thank you.
My phone and tab.
I was wondering... If people get more healing abilities after this kind of activation, or if they find healing themselves.
Okay. Rachel, can you just repeat the last part of your question?
Yeah, the last part again. And please, if you're not asking a question, if you'll hit *6, that will mute your phone so that the background noise won't get in on the conversation and make it more difficult for people to hear. Please. Okay, Rachel, if you could repeat that last part again.
Sure. I was wondering if people find that they can heal better to heal other people, and also if they find that they receive healing from this process that's initiated by the activation.
The quick answer is yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This is my analogy. For instance, people that go and get attuned for Reiki. Okay. Everybody has a natural ability to heal. Everybody can channel divine energy. What an attunement in Reiki does, or one of the other systems, is basically, you know, think of a garden hose. And what you're doing is you're sort of straightening it up a little bit so the water flows better.
I'm not sure where we're parked exactly.
So what happens is when we get attunements, and notably when we build this, you know, antahkarana back to our soul, once you build your antahkarana back to your soul, instead of working with a garden hose, you're now working with like a full fire hydrant hose. You think about it.
Okay.
You're able to flow a much greater capacity of energy
and
healing
and receive it back. So that's what, you know, that's where exactly where we're talking about when we talk about the people that teach you the secret of the law of manifestation and the law of attraction. The fact is, if you don't build a channel, amplified channel, and the ideal size of a channel is the size of your head, minimum, the size of your head, because the channel that comes, you know.
No, that's what tradition says.
Yeah,
that's
tradition
good, but it's my rival more of the time.
Can somebody mute?
We've got somebody with small children in the background.
Oh, that's me. I'm sorry. I thought I was muted. My apologies.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Hold on one sec.
That's okay. So, when you open this channel and you do, and you actually work on a takarana, you're weaving back. It's like, it's almost like a work of a spider weaving a net back. And then you can receive the energy down. That is how you can manifest. Other than this, the law of attraction is just...
It's weak.
It's weak. It's just wishful thinking. And it's, you know, one thing that I just want to point it out. The law of attraction actually is a sub-law of the law of karma. If you don't work cleaning, you need to clean your central channel. You need to clean it. You need to clean the from bad feelings, bad energy. You have to do a very heavy-duty work in forgiveness. You have to learn how to be grateful for little things. And I need, those are essential elements for your soul and for your own well-being. You know, I'm not part of any, you know, main religion. I don't believe in sin. I believe in sin and a concept that was in the ancient times, that sin is what you missed, when you missed the point. That's sin, not sinful as the Christianity brought us. Oh, this is bad.
Now, what Christianity has done, and I think in a lot of cases, is confused sin with evil.
Yes.
And there are evils that you don't want to do. You know, you don't kill somebody. But mm-hmm. but sin itself is sin is missing the point of the lesson.
Yes. And so that's the basic concept and how it was understood, even for the earliest fathers of the church. It's missing the point. So what you do when you build back your channel, you have to clean yourself up. How you clean up? You're going to get rid of all your residues. You have to get rid of your what I call wounded file. You know, wounded file is that file that you keep like, oh, I remember this guy in seventh grade. He did this to me.
Tripped me.
Yeah, he tripped me.
My ex-husband is a jerk.
Or, you know, or like, I don't like this. You know, when you meet somebody and say, I know this girl. I don't like her. She looks like that girl in high school that made fun of my hair. You know, you have to get rid of the wounded file. So you have to do a heavy-duty program of forgiveness. We do have what we call on the website called Cleaning Your Energetic Template. It's a booklet and where you teaches you a 28-day program because you need 28 days to break a habit of cleaning every single structure that's hindering you to reach your full potential. So gratitude, forgiveness is necessary. When you do this, you are rebuilding your channel to divinity back again. It's not something that is a ritual. It's not, you know, we
nobody can do it for you.
You
know, and this is one of the things we make very clear when we're talking about when we do, for instance, the Stellar Codes, is we're not doing this for you. What we're helping do is facilitate, you know, the connection between yourself and your higher self, your lower self and your higher self. And once you're aware of that connection, and once it's there, it you two are the ones maintaining this bond. It's not something that we can do. All we can kind of do is you know, point the way.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Because any spiritual work is work. And it's like nobody, and you run away if somebody gives you, like, weekend retreat to be enlightened. No. You know, it really takes a lot of work.
We actually had a lady we ran into a lady, and she had it on her website, and I really wish I'd bought some of these just to have the box, which they were shoe insoles, and you'd, like a Dr. Scholl's foot, you know, foot insole.
Oh, yeah.
And you're supposed to wear these for 30 days, and you would be enlightened. And I'm thinking, you know, that's for me. You know, a spiritual practice is hard work because it is practice. I mean, but man, 30 days of wearing these in my shoes and I can be enlightened. That's how I want to do it.
So going back to the thing, you have a heavy duty work to do with forgiveness. You have a heavy duty work to do with gratitude. And I mean, remembering every single person that contributed for you to be the person you are today. Even the bad experiences, because we have bad, you know, we have teachers, people that come here with their soul contract with you that have to be here in order to deliver a hard lesson.
But it's a lesson you may need.
You may need.
And you should be able to express gratitude that, you know, I've become a better person, for instance, because, you know, the lesson this person gave me, I don't necessarily like this person. You don't have to like a person after you forgive them, you know, but you have to release the bond and the energy that's still connecting you. That's truly what forgiveness is a severing of that cord between, you know, you and this and the other entity.
Another big process to do on a cleaning, and it's essential for building back your channel, is basically the releasing of old contracts. Contracts that are no longer valid. And we talk about this a little bit when we were doing the conference call about the twin flames. A lot of people have difficulties to find a partner in this life because they still are bonded by old contracts of other marriages and other times. So there is a way, energetic way, those are exercises that you can do it yourself to release old contracts. So there's a lot of people that have a beautiful idea, beautiful books, and write beautiful things and do wonderful things, but they're not able to make money. Well, what you don't know, we don't know why, but maybe in certain past lives you made a vow of poverty. And, you know, who knows? You know, the choices that our souls make, you know, we're not all aware of it. But in case you have it, let's, you know, there's a work that can be done on releasing contracts, agreements, pledges of alliance, and things like that that need to go in order for you to reach your full potential
in this
lifetime. You know, and I'm very much less preoccupied right now, and I tell you this, on past karma, you know, than contracts in general. Because as you ascend, the energy and vibration will eliminate karma. But you need to, you know, by your act of will and volition and work, release certain energies and certain ground points that you put in yourself through generations
that is holding you down. You know,
you can't
fly if you're still tethered to the ground. I mean, and that's essentially what we're talking about with that.
So those are, you know, elements that are you know, basically, we're giving you the outline and how to rebuild the channel back or what to eliminate. You can do it yourself, yes. A lot of people did without rituals or anything else. But the basic idea is when you do this work, you will feel
lighter
and you will fill up every single chakra of yours, the physical ones with light. When you fill them with light, you are able to function in the higher energy with the other 12 and, you know, even 15 other chakras that we have on what you call the transpersonal area. Those are the ones that you call the stellar, they usually call all of them above the solar, the cold star, they call the stellar gates. All of them are the ones that connect you with the cosmos. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hello, I'm sorry to interrupt.